Okay, so now we're going to finish Perek Vav. We're in the sixth Perek, sixth chapter, Halacha Yud, the tenth Halacha. It's interesting to me that the Rambam ends this Perek with this Halacha. Because when you read the Torah, this looks like a detail. You know, I think that one of the ways that you judge a society is by how that society treats the weakest of its members. I think that's true for any society. We're a society. And if it's interesting how you define someone as weakest. So a person could be weakest socially, a person could be weakest textually, a person could be weakest in terms of intelligence, a person could be weakest in terms of athletics, right? How this society that we call a raita treats the weakest individual, right? It says an enormous amount about the society. Who are the weakest individuals? So Chazal used the psukim to talk about the widows and orphans, okay? And those widows and orphans are basically those weakest of society, right? So, Chayav Adam Lizaher, be it Tomim Valmanot. When it comes to widows and orphans, I don't know, does anybody here have a close relationship with widows or orphans? Anybody? No, really? That's a problem, by the way. There's no way that there aren't people in your community who are widows and orphans. It's just not statistically possible.
There was an orphan in my school, actually.
Okay.
Both parents have to be dead for it to be an orphan.
Pardon?
Both parents have to be dead?
No. A yatom is someone who's lost a parent.
Yeah.
Right. So the mitzvot that you fulfill, the number of times this is mentioned in different psukim in the Torah, I mean, by being kind, by smiling at such a person, it's unbelievable how many mitzvot you can do. You know, and you know, we think, I just this morning, there's a group here called One Family. Maybe you heard of them. And they, pardon?
One Family Fund?
Well, the fund is the fundraising side of it, but it's an organization called One Family. Oh, could be. Okay. Who does? Oh, your father.
Yes.
So they support, and try to help victims of terror. No, that's different. That's Efrat or Poria. No, this is an organization. It was actually founded on the day that Sparrows happened. Basically, they realized all of a sudden, this was after about almost a year of Intifada. And there was something, there were a few hundred people that were killed that year. Maybe 100 plus, I don't remember the numbers. Bus bombings, suicide, bombings, stabbings and whatnot. And, you know, for every one person, God forbid, that's killed in a pigua, in a terrorist activity, you have sometimes as many as dozens of people that are affected. I mean, the grandparents and the uncles and the aunts and the children and the nieces and the nephews, like how much pain that creates in a larger group of people. But especially the widows and the orphans have a very, very difficult time. You know, imagine that it's 2 months before the end of your bagrut. You have matric exams, you're in 11th grade. And these exams are really important to get you into college. And chas v'shalom, a person is in that stage of life, and their mother is killed in a bus bombing. As difficult as that is in a normal situation, where a mother gets cancer, you have some time to prepare for it, you went to school, a normal person, and in the afternoon, basically your mother got taken away. And because somebody blew himself up, and that can create all sorts of trauma. So now this kid has tremendous difficulty, and he can't get back into school, so he fails his bagriyat. So he fails his bagriyat. Now he's got to go into 12th grade, missing half of his bagriyat. There's no way he's going to be able to succeed in catching up in 12th grade. So he's now got to do bagriyat the year after 12th grade. Who's going to pay for all those tutoring lessons? And so on and so forth, right? So you see a person like that naturally has an added level of stress. And you know what? Even if a person is wealthy, and God forbid their husband dies of cancer, so you think, okay, they're not really a widow because they're wealthy. But every Friday night, they either have to sit at a table without a husband. Like, you know when you go to a table and there's a husband and a wife and whatever, kids, you just feel there's something whole about the table. But if the husband is away or the wife is away, there's something missing, right? This woman has missing in her life every Friday night. And so now you bump into this woman, right, on Friday afternoon, and you don't sense that she's in that moment of pain, right? So the ability to connect and to be good to widows and orphans is an exercise in sensitivity. If you've gotten through sixth prakim of Hilchot Deor, and you're up to the last halacha here, you're ready to deal with widows and orphans. Chayav adam lizeher b'yatomim v'almanot. You have to be careful. Mipnei shenefshan shvala, because their spirit is very low. It's very hard. It's depressing. You know, there's so many experiences. I mean, did you find that it was hard this year on some levels, in some ways, at some points, to be away from your parents?
Right.
In a way, okay. Oh, okay, that could be. But now they love you because they sent you to a writer. Look at that. Okay, that's better than no. That means we've come a long way. No, we heard you. You can't take it back now. Oh, that could be. But like, you know what? Like, there's certain times you really feel like I don't know, your birthday. Like, whatever guys do, it's just not the same as your parents. Like, you know, your family, like, they make you a fuss, they make you a... It's your family, right? So, that little thing that you experience here this year, these people experience every day. And they experience it on a much deeper level, because they never get to see them again, right? So, nafshan shvala, they're in a certain amount of pain. Lima'od, extremely low. Veruham nimucha, their spirit is low. Afal pishahin balei mamon, even by the way, if they're wealthy. Money can't buy you love. Afilu almanatosh el melech v'yitomav. Even the widow of a king. Like you would think the widow of a king, she becomes the queen. She's the highest person in the land. She's still missing her husband. Muzarim anu alihena. We are ordered to be careful. There's a mitzvah to be careful. Sheneemar kol almana v'yaton lo ta'anun. You're not allowed to distress or to cause to suffer, right? Any widow or orphan. Okay? Right? Ve'achnu aginimayim. Okay, so it's very nice that you're supposed to be careful and shouldn't make them suffer. So how do you behave? Like, how do you fulfill this mitzvah to a widow or an orphan? Right? Lo yedaber lehim ela rakot. Right? When I was in Madrich in Neve Shmuel, so there were a few kids in the machzor, like 50 boys, who had this issue. They'd either lost a parent, or in one case the parent was on his deathbed, so I looked at it the same way. So I didn't yell at them when there was something to yell at a kid about the way I did other kids. And one of the other kids called me on it, you know? He said, well, you know, if this was Tuvia, you wouldn't be yelling like this. And I was like annoyed, I was upset on the one hand that they felt that I was playing favorites. And then I thought about it afterwards and I decided, you know what, that's a good thing. That I end up treating this boy a little differently and the kids pick up on that. That's not a bad thing. Because he lost his dad, and he has a tough time with that, right? Never mind if a person's an orphan and has no parents, right? V'lo yinhag bahen ela minhag kavod. You have to give an amazing amount of respect to widows and orphans. Why? This is Pashut. Why? Deeper than that. Think about this. Where do you learn to respect yourself? Where should you learn in an ideal world? First and foremost, from your parents. When you're born, you know, child psychologists say that when a person is born, their sense of self-image begins to develop from the moment they're born. They come into the world and they see all these big faces smiling at them and looking at them with such love. And on some subconscious level, that baby is beginning to internalize all that love, all that awe, that's about me. I must be great. And they've done studies on kids who are abandoned, you know, sort of as infants, and adopted by loving, caring families, with kids that turn out healthy, and you can see the difference. Even if the infant is adopted when they're 6 months old. Even if the child remembers absolutely nothing from those 6 months. So imagine now that a person, like I think about this, my kids get so much overwhelming dosage of positive, you know, self-image and reinforcement and all this stuff every time I'm with them. So I think, like, how different would they be? You know, I mean, I remember when I had that car accident and that I told you about once, and this, like, wave of sadness came over me. I was sitting in this car. I was 100% convinced I was going to die. And what really went through my mind was, like, nobody's going to walk my daughter down at her wedding. And then I started thinking about, like, and I came to, like, you know, Yonatan, who at the time was, I mean, Yair wasn't born yet. He was, like, 2.5. I was thinking, like, who's going to mold this boy to be a healthy, to have a good sense of self, to be proud of his accomplishments, to feel good about himself? Like, how can you give to the world if you don't feel good about yourself? Who's going to give him that? No one. There is no one who can give a child that love like a parent. It just doesn't exist. Never mind, you know, someone who's lost both parents. So you look at this kid, and maybe they have trouble, or they're causing trouble. Well, of course, because they didn't get that healthy dose of self, sense of self. So now you're interacting with them. If you really could understand that, you would not be able to have a negative experience with them. You wouldn't be able to tell them off. You wouldn't be able to be upset with them. Right? And that's what the Rambam is saying. You have to treat them with respect because they've lost the source of their respect, so you have to try to give it to them. That's a huge mitzvah. It's a huge mitzvah. I remember Eli Cohen, right? Do you remember the story of Eli Cohen, the trees and the Golan Heights? We talked about him. He was a spy. And the Syrians caught him because he was, you know, broadcasting, and they got on the bandwidth and whatever. And he had no deniability. I mean, they burst into his house, and he was in the middle of sending an illegal message. So they gave him a trial. The trial, they tortured him for 48 hours. We can only imagine what kind of torture. Then they gave him a trial. The trial lasted 6 hours. At the end of 6 hours of trial, no lawyers, obviously, he was sentenced to death. And the next day, they hung him that evening in a public square in Damascus, while his wife, Nadia, had to watch on television. And then they buried his bones. They mixed his bones with the bones of a dog, and they buried him in the corner of the Jewish cemetery in Damascus, which is where he still lies. Part of Israel's negotiations have always been that they want the body of Eli Cohen back. So now, Eli Cohen had a baby boy. Okay? Child. Whatever. Eli Cohen had a child. And this child eventually had his bar mitzvah. He had his bar mitzvah, I remember this, in 1979, which is what, like 12 years after the Six-Day War. And Menachem Begin was the prime minister. And Menachem Begin went to the Kotel to celebrate the bar mitzvah of this boy. Like, I don't know if that's the type of thing normal politicians do. I hope they do, but whatever. But there was something to be said about the fact. It's a famous picture. Here you have a guy, and of all the prime ministers we've ever had, Menachem Begin had the healthiest respect for. He was a traditional Jew. He had a deep respect for Israel. He turned down there all sorts of famous stories of him not agreeing to go to Washington because he'd have to fly on Shabbat and all sorts of stuff like that. He would only eat kosher food wherever he went because he felt he represented the state of Israel. And you think about it, and I remember this picture, you see this, and there's all these like people standing around trying to give this sense of self to this boy, but his father isn't there. Like, there's just something this boy will never have, you know? And that's why you have to try to give him that respect. And, you know, you think about that, like the prime minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, is trying to make up in some small way, because look, if the prime minister of Israel comes to your bar mitzvah, so then you must be special, right? V'lo yachiv gufam ba'avodah. You can't give them tasks to do that are going to be painful for them. You can't cause them pain. V'libam b'dvarim kashim. And you can't say tough words to them and cause their hearts pain. This is a very difficult halacha. Like, what do you do if you have to tell off? Like, what is this doing here? Why is this not in Hilchos Chovel U'Mazik, where it talks about not embarrassing, you know, the value of... Because the whole essence of Tocha is that you have to... You sometimes have to say difficult things to people. But the whole goal of that process is that they sense that you're doing it out of love for them and that they're ready to hear it. You can't take that risk with the Yatam. You can't take that risk with an almana. Because the heart of an orphan or a widow is so fragile, right, that hard words can break them. You can't do that. You have to be careful about their money more than your own. If you're a bank manager and you know that there's an account that belongs to a widow and the bank is having trouble, you make sure that that money is safe because that's a widow's money. And you got to be careful with that. Kol hamaknitano machisano, right? People who nitpick at them or anger them, or you cause them pain, a rodeh is a tyrant, so you oversee them like in a tyrannical way. Oh, we bet mamunan, or you're a stockbroker and you lose their money. You're over on a mitzvah slotase. The psukim are full of like, you know, lo taneh, amanav ager lo taneh, right? The lavze, and this prohibition, afal pishein lo kinalav, even though you don't, you're not cursed for it, right? Hare onsho meforash betorah, v'chara api v'arakti etchem b'charev. The pasuk says that concerning the person who causes travail to the widow and the orphan, right? Hashem says, right, my anger will wax against them, and I will kill them by the sword. You don't really want to mess with that kind of line. You know what I mean? Brit karat lahen mi she'amar v'haya olam. And the one who created the world. Now that's an interesting phrase. Why is that to say that all this comes from the one who sort of, what's lichot brit? A brit is a covenant. Lichot would be to seal a covenant, as he translated here. There is I don't think that's the way it is, but whatever. Right? Cuts a covenant, cuts a deal. Right? So why does it call Hashem Mishamar V'Yaolam? And he who said, let the world be, did make a covenant with them. Where does he make covenant with them? What does that mean? Why doesn't he just call him Hashem? In fact, the word Hashem, which represents Rachamim, that would be the right word to use here. So why do you think it's Mishamar V'Yaolam? What do you think? What do you think?
So can I ask one more time? I'm just spacing out.
Pardon? Yeah, sure. No problem. That's honest. Good, right? It says that Hashem created a covenant, right? Hashem says you're not allowed to cause travail to the widow and the orphan, right? And so the Rambam says here, right, that the one who said, let the world be, in other words, the creator of the world created a covenant. Now, the Rambam doesn't always do that. Hashem, Elohim, Hadayan Emet. Why does he call Hashem here in this regard to this topic, the one who said, let the world be? What do you think? Yeah.
Because he created a world and he created all the ways and orphans.
And therefore?
You have to respect God's creations, even if they're ways and orphans.
And why wouldn't you? This is a theory, although there's some freshmen who say this. What would cause you, like, this is not rocket science. Like, what would cause you not to be extra nice to a widow and orphan? What would cause you, like, I can understand you're not going to go out and slap, like, you know, let's play slap the orphan game. And I'm not even talking about, like, you know, the Oliver Twist type experiences where you see kids taking advantage of an orphan. Like, that's obviously horrendous. See, but what would...
If they're an orphan or a widow, it's really not the ideal. Maybe they did something wrong. Ah.
Because we love to put people into neat little boxes. And it's too easy to say that if he's an orphan, you know, his father died in a car accident, he must have done some chait. So why do I have to treat him nicely? Because just like Hashem, who created the world and caused them to be widows and orphans, Hashem also decided to create a brit with them so that you have to treat them right. And so the fact that you don't understand it is irrelevant. Right. It's not for us to try to judge, right? Which is a very dangerous energy when, as it relates to Tochacha, because Tochacha is very often all about judging, right? That's what people do, right? I'm judging you, I think you're doing something wrong, and I'm going to give you Tochacha. And the Rambam has been saying all along, it shouldn't be about judgment. Certainly you shouldn't judge the person, judge an action. So it's too easy to judge the widow and the orphan. By the way, why do you naturally tend to judge the widow and the orphan? Especially the orphan, but I think the widow too very often. Because there's something about relationships that make you a more whole person. It's like you see this, you know, when people are single for a long, long time, they begin to develop idiosyncrasies. And one of the ways that your idiosyncrasies don't get off balance is that you have someone, a partner in your life, who helps you to correct them. Like, as much as I have things I have to work on, I can't imagine how much more I would have to work on if I wasn't married. Because, you know, my wife is correcting me all the time, and it's healthy. You know, everything from knowing how not to speak too long to how you eat to how you dress to all sorts of things, right? So now the types of people that don't have that balance in their life, a woman who doesn't have a husband, a child who doesn't have a parent, so they're missing that corrective ability. So they're naturally going to be people that are more annoying, that might be more difficult to deal with, right? And that would cause you naturally to be more judgmental. And therefore, the Torah says, and therefore the Rambam says, no, there's a brit. A brit can never be broken. You have to treat them differently. Okay?
Right. Say, but you might say that.
You know, there's an amazing program. It's called Camp Kobe. Maybe you heard of it. It's run. It's in memory of a boy, Kobe Mandel, who was murdered by terrorists along with Yosef Ishran in 2002, I think 2003, it's a terrible story. They found there. They were playing hooky from school, and they climbed down to a cave below Tekoa, and they were just, you know, doing what kids do in 7th or 8th grade. And they didn't show up, and by 6 o'clock, the mother was getting nervous, and by 8 o'clock, she was really getting nervous, and by midnight, they were frantic. They had the whole yeshiva out. They were searching everywhere. They found them in the morning, and about 6 o'clock in the morning, somebody finally remembered they used to go to the cave. In the morning, they went down to the cave, and they found their bodies. They were so... I don't even know what the word is. They were so beaten that they had to identify them through their dental records. Can't imagine what that does to a parent. So they decided that they wanted at least that some meaning should result from this incomprehensible act. So they created this camp and this association that helps sort of kids who are terror victims. And they have a whole group of kids, hundreds of kids, I don't know the numbers, who come and do this special camp. And you have to understand, very often, either the parents can't afford it, or there's a breadwinner who's missing, or there's just issues. Sometimes if your brother was murdered, and everybody knows that because you all live in Gush Etzion, people don't know how to deal with you. They don't know how to talk to you. They don't know what to say to you. So, or they ask you stupid questions, So to be around other kids who have the same issue, just there's a comfort level that's incredible. So my daughter, it's very hard to get. I don't know what it's like for Americans, but for Israelis, it's hard to get into this camp. My daughter managed to get in, and she worked there as a counselor for a couple of summers and had a powerful impact on her. And she said that some of the kids she worked with were just, unbelievable. One of them was stalking her after the summer, for a whole year, because this kid was so love-starved. They had to do a lot with, the stuff that was going on. And it's just so easy to look at these kids, some of them, as just being really off. But when you think about what they've been, you think about where they're at. So the mitzvah says you got to put that aside, right? Brit karat lahen misha amar v'ya olam. So he who said, let the world be, who created this reality, created a covenant with them. Shekol zman shehem tzoakim mechamas hem na'anim. Right? That as long as they cry out, as long as they pray, from the violence that they've, the difficulty they've experienced, that they will be answered. So what is the Rambam talking about here? If you oppress a widow or an orphan, and in pain a widow or an orphan calls out to Hashem, the Rambam says the tefillot of such a person will always be answered. You don't want to be the one that they're davening badly for. That's what the Rambam is saying here. So I don't know if you have to take that literally. It's an interesting question. Although in this instance, which is rare for me to say, I believe the Rambam did take this literally. But at the very least, that I should be the source. Can you imagine? From an innocent thing. Just from speaking harshly to a kid who deserves it. That you should be the source of pain for an orphan. Can you imagine how terrible that would feel? Right? Bamedvarim amurim. So what are we talking about here? Bizman sheina otan letzorach atzmo. If you're causing them travail for your own purposes. Like he's sitting in the seat by the window, and you really want to sit there, but he doesn't want to get up. So you make fun of him, and you make his life a misery so that he'll get up and go somewhere else. So that's horrendous, right? Aval inao tam harav kedei lamdan Torah umnot. Oh, lo lecha b'derech yishara, reze mutar. But if you're causing them some level of travail because you want to help them get onto the right path, imagine, for example, that a kid is a drug addict and you throw him into rehab. I don't know if anybody here has ever sort of been in touch with patients in a rehab center, but the process is an extremely difficult process, very painful. And you have to, what they call tough love. And you have to do all the things that we've described here that you don't do. So Nachla is an orphan. People 2-3 weeks into rehab when they can't get what they're fixed and they're struggling, they sit down in the middle of the floor and just start crying. They're stuck and they miss home and it's horrendous, right? Are you allowed to do that to an orphan? So if it's for their benefit, if you're trying to make them better, then you're allowed to do it, right? And even so, Lo yinag b'hen minag kol adam. You can't act about them like you do about every person. Ele aselem efresh. You got to make it a little different for them. V'yina'alem b'nachat v'rachamim gdolim v'chavon. And you have to deal with them with, you know, sort of pleasantly, with respect. Sh'ne'emar, ki Hashem yariv v'am. Hashem argues their arguments. Okay? Echad yatom me'av, echad yatom me'em. So this is the answer to someone's question here. It doesn't matter if a person is orphaned from his father or orphaned from his mother. Ve'ad e'matay nikra'im yatomim l'inyan zeh. Now this is interesting. Suppose you have a guy, he lost his parents, but he's 89 years old. Like everybody lost their parents at 89 years old. So does that mean you can't be harsh to anybody over the age of 80? Right? Ad shelo yiyu tzrichin le'adam gadol li'samech alav ule'omnanu li'tapel b'en. When you're 25 years old, and you're out of the army, and you're in college, and doing whatever it is, and you've got your first job, you're not really considered a yatom regarding this halachot. You could treat such a person the way you treat any other person, which should be menslach. We're talking about the point where they're dependent to such an extent that not having a parent is what makes a huge difference.
But how can we judge when a person's out being dependent?
That's a good question. I would err on the side of caution. I mean, Hashem should bless me that my parents live a long time, but if that wasn't the case, you wouldn't consider me an orphan. I'm married. I have children. I have a job.
But maybe mentally you still need the support from your parents.
No, I'm close with my parents, but I don't know that I would say anymore that mentally I need their support. In other words, like, the loss would be the relationship, but not, you know. I don't even, I mean, I, you know, I'll occasionally get advice from my dad, sometimes on topics, you know, whatever it might be. But you wouldn't say, like, the pain wouldn't be different than any other person's pain who loses his parent, right? And most people at my age start to lose parents. Lo aleinu, it should be far off, you understand? But at that point, you're no longer an orphan. Once you're doing everything for yourself the way, you know, most people do, right? So then you're ready for it. Okay. You guys ready to do a little Perek Shvi? You have the energy for more? I don't want to push the envelope here. Right. Okay, so let's call it here. This is actually where I wanted to get up to.